Hello, and welcome back to One Brain at a Time, Season 2, sissy.
Yahoo, we're back.
I'm Dr. K.
And I'm Dr. J.
Well, what has it been, 8 months now?
I think so, just about 8 months, yes.
So a lot's been going on, but one of the biggest things is how many people have been listening?
I know. It's been so cool. I follow the analytics of this podcast, and it's just been so exciting to see how far and wide that this podcast has reached. One of the areas that has been really big is New Zealand, Paris, France. Thank you very much. Belgium, Dublin, Ireland, South Korea. It really literally goes all over the world.
So I'm going to guess we could consider ourselves worldwide. Well, how cool though, because, you know, last season we outlined what our mission statement and what our purpose was. And it was really just to let people in on a conversation between two sisters, two therapists, and different topics, and to think that folks across the world are able to listen and hopefully get something from it is pretty cool.
It's very cool.
So yeah, go for it.
Let's just do a quick catch up with each other and just bring people up to speed on where we've been and what we're doing.
Okay.
And so I'll let you go first since you're the youngest, or I mean the oldest.
Well, thank you. So it was interesting because I was looking through my calendar just to kind of prompt myself, and it's been a lot going on over these last 8 months, and one of them being I just had the year anniversary to my foot surgery, which I mentioned last year, and best decision ever. It has increased my mobility, and I was actually thinking to myself the other day when I was out for a walk that how much quality of life is impacted by a disruption in physical health.
Pain.
Oh,
pain. I just remember this time last year we were in Virginia Beach and we went for a walk on the boardwalk and you had to turn around because you were in so much pain.
Yeah. I think I walked like a half a mile.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's been a really exciting thing for me. The other thing has been really concentrating on my brain health. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I did was going back to Virginia Beach to do a program, and the acronym's MERT. Can you get into that, because you're the wealth of knowledge?
Sure. So it all began in, I don't know, 2010, when we had to pick a dissertation topic, and I chose the field of obesity medicine. And I really focused on, the name of my dissertation is Stress, Biochemistry, and Food Perceptions of Vermont Physicians Working with Obesity Patients. I wanted to know, what do physicians know about stress chemistry and the relationship with nutritional chemistry once entered into the body? And so I interviewed doctors, and the truth was, and they, you know, said it themselves, is that they only have to take a nutrition course once every 3 years, and that it's basically the same course, and it doesn't bring anything too different to this area of nutrition. So after my research, what I realized was that what really needed to be in place is a some sort of brain intervention. And it was COVID. It was March of 20. and a colleague of mine and I were starting a research study with the military. And we had found this other technology, non-invasive brain treatment. But unfortunately, the person who created started to become a little too controlling over a research study that wasn't his. And so I was home. Somebody had the TV on and the show The Doctors came on, which I had never seen before and I haven't seen subsequently. But the title on this particular day was on children with autism, a new non-invasive brain treatment. So I was like, ooh, what is this? And it was MERT.
MERT is the acronym for magnetic resonance therapy.
And it showed twin girls. One was nonverbal with autism. And after 3 weeks, this little girl looked at her mom and said, I love you, mommy. So working with the military and law enforcement, I'm like, ooh, wait a minute. I wonder if they've done any research on post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injuries. Well, what I've learned pretty quickly was that it was truly a military veteran influence within this company. And so my colleague at the military, we got a grant and we were going to be the first in the country to do a program on non-invasive brain treatment. So that's how MERT came into my world, and that's how it subsequently came into your world.
Well, I just remember when all of this was unfolding, just I couldn't really, no pun intended, wrap my brain around what this was. And I remember when you started, you were able to get more information and then subsequently start to see it being used on civilians, so forth and so on. And you just kept saying, I cannot believe the difference. And so, of course, in my world, it was very expensive, so it wasn't going to be anything that I could ever suggest for clients or myself or whatever, until through my own brain health journey and struggling with anxiety, panic disorder, and just really getting to the point where trauma therapy, talk therapy could only bring me so far. And so it was through discussions with you that I said, all right, I'm ready. I want to do this. And so we had, you had a connection with the office
Virginia
down
Beach.
Yeah, Virginia Beach. And so we had gone for 2 weeks last March and then went back for a month, starting in the last week in September. So we both did it, and it was, I look back and I'm like, what just happened? Because my experience with it was so intense, so intense. And it really, I feel, got to some real root sources of what my symptoms were. And it's kind of hard to explain in the fact that it's non-invasive and it's magnetic pulses going into the brain. But what happened for me was there were some dormant, this is like as simple as I can explain how I understand it. And I'm sure there's way more technology and such. But when you experience any type of trauma, especially in that nonverbal 0 to 3, that there's a part of the brain that can kind of slow down or shut down or whatever. And so when that area of the brain was stimulated for me, it was as if I was experiencing all that suppressed fear, anxiety, whatever. So it hit me like a tidal wave. And I thank goodness we were together, because I was like, what is happening right now? But as it was explained to me, you know, you kind of have to snow globe some stuff up in order to proceed through it. And it was intense. It was intense. But I feel I've probably gotten about 70-75% of my life back having done that procedure.
Right. So for you folks out there, what MERT is a form of TMS, which is transcranial magnetic stimulation. TMS has been around since the late 1800s. But the reason that MERT is different is because of the way that they have formulated TMS. They have brought it to new levels that have never been done before. And the protocol is in a 4-week period that you go 5 days a week. The treatment itself is 30 minutes. Well, from start to finish is 30 minutes, but the actual stimulation is 6 seconds on the minute. And you have an EEG before this even starts so that the professionals get a window into your brain and what the functionality is of it. And then 2 weeks into MERT, you have another EEG to see where your brain is at. And then when you conclude, you get another EEG. So they're really tracking this, which, and go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say that to me was probably the most impactful and powerful part of this process.
Yeah.
Because there it was in black and white, yeah. My brain waves being askew.
Right.
And how they must have been that way for a very long time. Until I just couldn't manage it any longer. Hence, starting my journey with panic disorder and anxiety at the age of 50. And it was validating. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it, because I don't lose sight of the fact that we do what we do, and the power of talk therapy is immeasurable. But I also know, and you also know, that there are times where we identify that we can only go so far.
Right.
And that brain, whether it's mine, yours, or somebody else's, can't get to the next level, and how frustrating it has been for me personally in my own journey.
Sure.
But also being a professional with folks, when I can clearly recognize that talk therapy is not going to move the needle on that brain.
Right.
And so being able to have this experience myself was not just powerful for me, but informing the therapy and the work that I do on the daily with other people. And so just talking about that EEG and concretely seeing how my brain waves were out of whack, and then being able to see at the 2 week and at the final that there had been movement, and I could feel it,
right? Yes.
But I couldn't put it into words. And for your experience doing it, your experience was much more like what I had the two weeks in March that I was saying to you, you were sparkling. Like every day, your spirit got lighter and lighter and lighter. And it was just a really incredible thing for me to witness with you while I was going through the washing machine of emotion and somatic, like everything, mind, body, spirit. I got put through the snow globe. But to watch your experience and yours, I remember like you saying that you didn't have cravings for stuff anymore, or.
Yeah, for me, because I recommend this treatment I had mentioned this in the beginning of season one that I assess brains as mild, moderate, and severe. And that severe can be, you know, multiple traumatic brain injuries. It can be an extensive trauma history. It can be an extensive drug history. There are many reasons why a brain in my world will, I'll deem it in the severe zone. And so I wanted to experience this firsthand. I believed in it. And when I was at the military, we could never get it off the ground, the whole research. And we couldn't do this on military because of whatever. But we could practice on civilians. And so I saw the shift in the civilians that came in. And so I knew it worked. I knew it worked. And for me, because part of my brain is the science researcher, and so I love my wine. And I thought, I wonder if this can decrease my thought patterns for wine. And I had talked to other people that are involved in different brain centers that have MERT. And they have mentioned that many people who are addicted to substances have found, in conjunction with therapy and other resources, have been able to stay sober. And so it's still working today. You know, right. Did it absolutely erase the thought of wine? No. But what it absolutely did was it turned down the frequency that my brain, and what I realize is that, you know, the reason that I would, when I would fire wine, it was usually when I had a long day or I had folks that were really in a lot of pain and it impacted me. And so the wine was that stabilizer, that regulator. And if this was going to work on my trauma system, it should turn down the volume of needing the wine to regulate my nervous system through my brain. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely did. I mean, yeah. It's amazing the shift. And then I had recommended this to a number of people who just recently have gotten back to me on their experience. And one person in particular has wrangled with substances, like some real heavy duty illicit drugs, and is clean and has been for 4 months and is now able to really start looking at the trauma. But when the brain is dysregulated, it's going to be hard to get it to a place of regulation to be able to do the work.
Right. And I found for myself, because I've always had a relationship with sugar. If I was stressed or anything, that was my immediate grab. And I found a profound shift in that relationship with sugar. And again, to your point about the wine, nobody gonna not let, I mean, mama needs her chocolate. But it's amazing to see that when I fire the thought, oh, I want a piece of chocolate, I'll have a piece or two and then be done, where before, oh, that bar is mine.
Right.
So it makes total sense. And in bringing this all the way back to what you first started talking about with your dissertation and weight, it's like if you have a dysregulated brain, nervous system, trauma center, then the body's trying to regulate through external things, food, drugs, alcohol, any of it. And it's just, it's an amazing, amazing research-based product that has, you know, when we were in Virginia Beach, which I'm so excited because we're going back in the fall to finish out the protocol for me.
Yeah.
But to hear their experiences, the folks who work there, who are all military, shout out to NERCO, love those guys, but about working with the military and like the depths of disability in the brain to regulate and to hear people getting their lives back. It's a beautiful thing. But I also want to inject here, too, that one of our goals in season two is to be able to build connection. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that if any of this information strikes for people and they want more, feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram page at One Brain at a Time. It's all one word, and would love and be happy to do an offline conversation about it too, because it's pretty amazing stuff. And again, it's expensive. It's about $10,000 for a full protocol. But for
was it
me,
that much?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And we got discounted because they honor military first responders, that kind of thing. So, but it's a commitment, but it's a commitment for me, for my own personal health. I'd remortgage my house 10 times over to have found any type of relief from that day to day prison
panic,
of panic and anxiety. And so anyways, I did want to anything else on MERT from you?
I just want to highlight your experience, because I witnessed your experience, and you've been due diligence as far as your own work and doing EMDR, which is one of the three interventions that the deployment for psychology supports for PTS. And, you know, it definitely helped you for sure. But what I saw when we were in Virginia Beach was the somatic psycho effect with you. And what I concluded was that what was going on for you was pre-verbal. It wasn't when you were able to use your voice, and it was just fright. It was fear. It was, you know, just feeling powerless and helpless. And that's really, you know, from my clinical stand and also being your sister, to see that level of visceral response out of you, which, you know, certainly I've seen you in full-blown panic attack, but this was very different. And I just felt in my core that MERT was able to wake up that system that had been buried and repressed and suppressed for survival.
Right. Right. Well, more to come, because I'm hoping that the 2 weeks this fall is more of that, you know, just tweaking the brain and just getting it right where in the sweet spot. But besides having Myrn, I'm just really excited for the two of us to go away again.
I love Virginia Beach. Oh, this is going to be our third time back.
So great. The people.
So
it's
nice.
So nice. So anyways, again, just to reiterate, feel free to DM us. I was going to say inbox us on Instagram, and feel free to subscribe or like or whatever that's called. Join us.
Follow Instagram.
I'm so hip and happening. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's your turn now, because right in our farewell segment in season one, I'm like, you know, you can email us. You're like, I think that's a little outdated.
So one thing I did want to just circle back to in Virginia Beach One thing we did do, besides the MRT and everything else, we tried pickleball.
Yes, it was. I've wanted to try pickleball for such a long time. And then my sister surprised me with she booked us a private lesson with a pickleball coach. And it was so much fun. We went for this private lesson. And then like 20 minutes into it, it just poured, torrential downpour. And so the woman rescheduled us, so we were able to go back, and I just had so much fun.
So I think it's worth noting that both you and I are competitive athletes, and we're competitive, I would say, in the sports world, you know, that kind of thing. And we grew up in a household. Our mom is a hugely accomplished athlete. She's a phys ed teacher, and her life motto is you're either an athlete or you're not. And everything defaults to, if you do something good, it's because you're an athlete. So us walking onto the pickleball court with this coach who was lovely, but yeah, she was looking at doing the basics with us, and my patients were like, yeah, let's get this moving, because I just want to smash the ball. We just want to volley and see what this is about. And so I think she got the message at our second encounter that she didn't have to go over the basics, because you're a tennis player, and I wouldn't say a tennis player, but I like to go out on the court and hit a tennis ball around. So, oh my gosh, it was so funny, so much fun. And it was one of those things that I had heard about pickleball so much. Yeah, and I had stayed away from it because I didn't want to get too caught up in it, because I've got other athletic stuff that I do. And so anyways, we went to Shake Shack after.
Oh my gosh. I will tell you all that I am not a fast food person. I mean, until I went to Shake Shack last fall, I had not stepped foot into a McDonald's or Burger King in probably 30, 35 years. I mean, I just don't. But my sister convinced me that the quality was far superior than a lot of the fast food restaurants. So I said, all right, I'll try it. Oh, I loved it. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Let's go back to Shake Shack.
Their fries with that plastic cheese. Oh, gosh, I love it.
I loved the burger. It was so good.
Yeah. But so fast forward, we came back from Virginia Beach, and the next kind of bigger thing that I incorporated into my healthcare plan was starting hormone replacement treatment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It had been on my radar, but I didn't think, because of some pre-existing blood stuff that I have, that I was a candidate. And when I got back from Virginia Beach and doing MRT, it took me a good 6 weeks to kind of calibrate.
Right.
And at that point, I thought, I want to see if HRT was even a possibility. So I contacted my doctor, and they didn't feel comfortable with it, but I think it was much more because they weren't educated in the latest research and such. And I had been following on Insta Dr. Mary Claire Havers, who is a firecracker when it comes to menopausal health. And through watching and reading other doctors on this topic, I realized that I actually was a candidate for it. And I had had an ovary removed when I was 22, I think. Mm-hmm. And so my system hadn't been producing at the level that when you have two ovaries. And so I ended up going with a company online called MIDI, and I met with the nurse practitioner and we started low and slow. And I, again, it's kind of hard to differentiate what possibly is MERT and what's hormones, but I feel the best I have felt physically, and I'm getting there mentally, but the motivation to move my body, to work out, to do things that before I'd be like, it, and the combination of having my foot repaired.
Yeah.
I am shouting from the mountaintops because menopause, women who are going through deficiency in hormones, it's not just your mama's hot flash stuff going on. The impact is so massive with a lot of women.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, there's just not funding out there because menopause women are not really looked at in research. But that's changing. That's changing. But anything we mention on this podcast, there's no partnership, there's no relationship, but I think you and I both agree that we're just sharing our story. And if anyone gets something out of it, great. And if it doesn't resonate with you, then keep it moving. But I wanted to mention that because it really has been an incredible with my sleep. Oh my gosh, it has helped with sleep tremendously. So that's that. I was going to say too that one of the things I did for fun, because this is trying to incorporate fun into my world. My husband and I go down to Florida for a month now. We're baby snowbirds. And we had the time of our lives going out and exploring Orlando. As you well know, I've always been a Disney person, but this year we really spent time going out to look around the city of Orlando and surrounding towns. And I am telling you, Orlando has a food scene going on. And two of the things that we did, one was the best ramen I've ever had in my life at Domu. And funny enough, Beating Phil on Netflix, that just dropped the new season, had an episode in Orlando. And where did he go? Domu. So again, I kind of feel like a trendsetter. But oh my gosh, if anyone's ever in Orlando, go to Domu for ramen. And then the other standout thing that we did was I had seen it online and got tickets for my favorite movies are the Lord of the Rings series. And they have an orchestra that plays along to the movie that's being shown. And so, oh my goodness, the immersive experience was incredible. And they had a 100-piece choir, so singing throughout the movie, the soundtrack. Oh, wow. Oh, it was amazing. So those are some of the things that I've done for fun, and looking forward to going back down to Orlando with my bestie, Kath. We always have fun. We were actually down there in December for a 3-night thing. We went to this event at the Waldorf Astoria, the Sippin' something, which was amazing. Amazing to stay there. But yeah, so that's what's been going on. Oh, one other thing. I started back to hot yoga, which I started my practice.
You started a long time ago.
When I was 30. Which was like 5 years ago, maybe not. And what's been really cool about that experience is, so I started hot yoga when I was 30, and it really just became such a huge part of my life. And for the first time, I felt this connection, you know, they talk about mind, body, spirit stuff with yoga, but it was really to move in my body through yoga as opposed to athletic competition. It was just such a beautiful thing. And so throughout the years, I would take a break, go back, take a break. And really over the last 15 years, I haven't made a commitment to it. And so feeling better, I've gone back and I just had the experience the other day being in my practice and going into postures that I haven't done since my 30s. And just that connection of feeling good and movement and just my new mantra, feeling blessed and grateful.
Fantastic. Because when we have positive thoughts like that, we can't turn on our fight or flight. So yeah. Updates in my world. I haven't really been doing a lot of traveling. I mean, the month in Virginia Beach was the longest that I've been away. And it really wasn't a vacation because we both worked while we were there. But biggest thing in my life is that a little angel came into our world in November, my first grandchild.
Aww.
And she is wonderful.
I know everybody says it, but she really is the cutest ever.
Oh my gosh. I know. She really is. And her parents are doing such a great job. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch.
And it's been 26 years since we've had a baby in our family.
I know. Almost 27.
Yeah. So this little muffin is... she has no idea.
She's the center of the universe.
There's many adults who are just swooning and just waiting for the moment that she starts to walk and talk so we can steal her from our parents for a little bit. But yeah,
so, I mean it's been a good year and just been working and yeah. So I'm looking forward to 2024. I'm headed to southern France and then to England this summer and then Orlando, Bahamas by the end of the 2024 year. So I've got some travel ahead of me.
So fun. Yeah, that has been fun, kind of going over what's been going on. What's been going on with you guys? Let us know at Instagram now that we're hip and happening and have a page at One Brain at a Time, all one word. And we look forward to these upcoming episodes. And again, we just really appreciate anyone who takes the time to listen because it encourages us that we're doing the right thing.
We'll keep an eye out for your comments or feedback, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.